The sound of a nation at peace or at war, that was Najaf in Iraq last night, the holy city held by fighters loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr. American warship helicopters, gunships, tanks have been bombarding the city during the night. It's one of the fiercest onslaughts yet. Our correspondent there is Kylie Morris. Is it still going on, as far as you know, Kylie?
No, it's been quiet for the past few hours, although apparently down on the streets of the old city in Najaf, closer into that Imam Ali shrine, we know that the tanks have been exchanging fire with members of the Mehdi army. We also know that there's been some mortar fire coming out of the Mehdi army positions, which is back to the old scenario that we've been used to in Najaf. Overnight, there'd been very little returned fire from the Mehdi army. The only attack was being conducted by the Americans, by those American planes and tanks on the ground.
So does that suggest to you that perhaps this is the final stages?
Difficult to say how many Mehdi army fighters are still in place around the mosque at this stage. Certainly some people who've tried to reach the mosque in the past hour or so were driven back by Mehdi army fighters who came out angrily into the streets and sent them off. The streets of the old city apparently are completely empty except for the Mehdi army fighters. We've been out to the main hospital. They're telling us that they've received no casualties, which it's difficult to explain. It raises the question, really, I suppose, of whether they've been able to get casualties out of the Imam Ali shrine, but difficult to imagine that there weren't any, given the heavy nature of the bombardment.
Has there been a great deal of destruction, as far as you can tell?
Again, we haven't been able to get into the mosque or into the compound, but it was a truly devastating attack. We're talking about 5 hours of shelling here, so I can't imagine that there hasn't been damage done in and around the mosque. Having said that, though, the Iraqi military and the US have both been very careful in the past to say that were they to launch an attack, they would try to ensure that there was no damage done to the mosque.
Kylie, thanks very much for the moment. Let's go to Ali Al-Bayati, who is the director of the London office of the Supreme Council for Islamic Resistance. His brother is Iraq's deputy foreign minister. What do you make of what's been happening over the past 24 hours, Mr. Al-Bayati?
Well, we have information that the army are closer to the mosque, but escalating the problem, the shelling and the bombardment of the Najaf, especially the holiness of the Najaf and the actual cultural that is going around the city has been damaged. This escalating the problem, it will not be in anybody's favor. The military operation must stop immediately. There must be a peaceful envoy to be sent into the Najaf to reach peaceful settlement.
Well, they've tried that, haven't they? They've sent people in. They sent delegates from the conference in.
Well, I think yesterday Muqtada al-Sadr put some acceptance to the actual peaceful solution, but they have to give them an exit strategy in order for them to leave the city.
But isn't that exactly what they tried to do earlier this week?
Well, they sent a delegate from the National Assembly, and they put some solution to the problem. But what happens is, if you give somebody a solution, you have to give them an exit strategy. The exit strategy is too narrow for them to leave the city, so they have to give them some sort of a leeway so they can leave the city.
But what they can't do, what the government cannot do, is allow these people to defy them the way they are doing. They cannot allow them simply to take a city and to hold it in the face of the authorities.
Well, they are not holding the city as such. What's happening is, I mean, the arms they are carrying only are small Kalashnikovs, and these are no match for the heavy shelling and the heavy artillery. I think we should give a peace a chance and send another envoy and try again, because a lot of innocent people are caught in between, and who is going to repair all these damages?
Yeah, but whose fault is this? I mean, it's the fault, surely, of Muqtada al-Sadr. I mean,
well,
it's his action, isn't it?
Well, we don't know if we're going to use iron fist against anybody like that. We're going to have a a ripple effect on everybody else, and that's not acceptable.
But if somebody takes arms against you, then particularly in a society where there is now some semblance of lawful government, then surely you have to stop him.
Well, I do believe that Dr. Riyad Alawi is in a difficult position. He's a rational man, and he's trying to resolve the problem quietly and with the minimum damage he can. But we mustn't forget that these cities have suffered a lot, and since the fall of the regime last April till now, they didn't see any change in their way of life. So it's difficult for these people as well.
Mr. Elvati, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Quarter past seven. Week one of the Athens Olympics is drawing to a close. For some, it'll be remembered for stunning feats of sporting excellence, even if few of them were British, apart, of course, from the good old Yingling. For others, though, it'll conjure images of Greek sprinters falling off an invisible motorbike, bungled judging, sometimes empty arenas as well. So how does the host nation feel its great Olympic show is going? Greece's ambassador at large, Stavros Lambrinidis, has been heavily involved with the Games. He joins me now. Ambassador, would you say that this first week has been a little bit unfortunate, hasn't it, especially for Greece, with all this fuss about your sprinters?
Well, yeah, I would say so, yes. It has not been the best week in terms of publicity, but it has been a very good week in terms of the way that Greeks, at least, reacted to this issue. I was very pleased to see that did not allow for latitude. When the story broke, the majority of Greeks were very upset, and they were very upset for reasons that we all ought to be upset about. Doping is a problem. It is not a Greek problem, mind you. It's a universal problem, and it's an issue that we have to deal with as societies as well. You know, to the extent that we put pressure on our athletes, I'm talking about the British and the Greeks and the Americans, the South Africans, everyone, to the extent that we take tremendous amount of joy in gold and silver medals and tremendous disappointment in not getting them, there will always be the incentive when those drugs are out there for people to take them.
Well, of course, that is true. But what's a problem for you is that it's overshadowed the events in the various sporting arenas, hasn't it? And it's also, quite frankly, turned many people off the whole idea of the Olympic Games.
Well, I don't think so. I think that's an interpretation, but it's not what I see on the ground. I saw on the ground great enthusiasm for every other Greek athlete that is competing, and a number of medals that came the days following this discussion. Let's keep in mind that they have not, those two athletes, been found to have taken drugs. In fact, in the past, they have been tested, and they have been found drug-free, but that does not take away from the bizarreness of this whole story, and therefore they have been condemned by the Greek public and by the international public, and that's fine.
If I may, on another issue, we have noticed that many of the stadia have been half full at best for many of the key events so far. Is it true that for the second week the International Olympic Committee is encouraging the Greek organizers to give away tickets if necessary, just to fill these stadia up?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion of filling up the stadia. Let me just say a couple of things there. If you exclude Australia, and Australia is a wonderful and strange country that everyone just adores sport, correct? I mean, and you exclude the Sydney Games. In every other Olympic Games, this has been the pattern. In other words, the first week has always been a little slow, and the second week picks up. It makes sense. Now, in Greece, we also had another issue, however, that is particularly problematic. We had September 11th, and then we had a tremendous amount for years and years and years of discussion and speculation about security and dangers, most of it blown out of proportion big time, as reality proves on the ground today. But all this discussion did not encourage a lot of people to visit Athens for the Games. Now, we had this discussion, and now we're sitting back and saying, oh, my God, the stadium's not that full. I wish they were a little fuller. I see them filling up real fast now. But let us keep in mind as well that we had an international environment that many of us, I think, unfortunately, blew out of proportion. That did discourage people. And I hope and I believe that that this also is blowing away, and you're going to see a wonderfully attended Olympics in the next few days.
Well, we'll watch week two with interest. Ambassador Lambrinidis, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.